It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. My name is Christian Adams. I'm guest hosting this week for Sandy Rios. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're on the eastern side of the country, probably a wet day for you is Hurricane Isis. Is that how you say it? Isis tears through North Carolina, Virginia right now. Came ashore in Myrtle Beach last night with 10-foot storm surge, totally unexpected. And the storm actually maintains its strength, even though it's inland. So it's a rough go for those of you in the eastern half of the audience, and wish you all well, batten down the hatches, and stay safe. I struggled with the name, didn't I? It's interesting because I wondered about the name, and I looked it up at the Social Security Naming Index. Those of you who have been following the news these last couple days in the weather, and it turns out that in 2018, there were 500 people with that name. In other words, the Social Security Administration tracks baby birth names, and 500 people have the name of this hurricane in the United States. So that was quite a discovery. It's not like John or Hurricane Pat or Hurricane Michael. So it's great to be with you this week. I've hosted for Sandy before. It's always a pleasure. I'm the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. We litigate election integrity issues, anti-voter fraud. We'll be talking about the election today and some fascinating numbers that we've just found involving vote by mail and how it doesn't work. We'll also be talking about schools going back. Do you have kids in school, grandkids in school? What's going on where you are? What's going on with the teachers where you are? It varies from state to state. It varies from public school to private school. Those of you who are already homeschooling, I guess you don't have to worry about this one. But a lot of parents do, and a lot of teachers don't seem to want to go back to work. That seems to be one of the common threads in many parts of the country, is the teachers want to be paid, but they don't want to teach. How about that? What a gig that is. How do I get that job, huh? How do you become a teacher that doesn't have to teach? That's what's happening in many parts of the country. We'll be talking about that in the next segment. You can call me at 1-888-589-8840, 1-888-589-8840. You can also follow me, by the way, on Twitter. Love to talk to you on Twitter, at electionlawctr. That's electionlawctr, like shortened center. But the election, you know, you think of it in November. But believe it or not, mail ballots are going to be going out. And early voting is going to start in places like North Carolina very, very soon. I think we're talking about 28 days. North Carolina voting will be starting. That's crazy. We used to have a single election day where everybody in the country came together. Yeah, we stood in line. We made it. We survived. Didn't hurt that bad. We stood in line on election day, on a Tuesday, and we all voted as a country, one, all together. There were some absentee ballots if you were sick or out of town, of course. But we all came together as a country in a shared common experience. We waited for all of the issues to be heard until election day, not election September, like in North Carolina. And this has caused the Trump campaign to make some adjustments. The Trump campaign, for example, launched a big ad blitz this week because a lot of things are happening. For example, there's not going to be a debate if Joe Biden gets his way. Can you imagine that? No presidential debate. you always had a presidential debate in other years, but not going to have one possibly this year if Joe Biden gets his way. As a matter of fact, ballots will be in the hands of North Carolina voters in 33 days. 33 days from now, people in North Carolina are going to be voting for president. Now, does that make a lot of sense to have voting that early? So 33 days, you're basically looking at early, middle September. People are going to be casting ballots. What happens if, like, something happens to one of the candidates? Or suppose one of the candidates during a public speech starts, like, babbling out crazy stuff, and you've already sent your ballot in. Can you call the election office and say, hey, I want my ballot that I cast for Joe Biden back? Is that possible? I don't think it is. Once those ballots go, they go. And so you have basically an uninformed electorate when you have early voting. It's sort of like, close your eyes and ears and pick one. That's what early voting in September is like. Now, the left will tell you that we vote our socioeconomic status, that that's what matters, that voting is not about... I'm listening carefully, folks. Occasionally, when I get to sub for Sandy, I really have some insights because I used to work with these people, the Justice Department. They think voting is an expression of collective will, that if you are born a certain way or you are in a certain economic class, then you don't really care about the issues. You vote with your group. It's like grasshoppers or a school of fish. If you are black, you vote black. If you are poor, you vote poor. And really, the issues don't matter. This is how they think. What matters is who you are in your socioeconomic class. And so it doesn't matter. You don't have to wait till Election Day. You just cast your ballot in North Carolina on September 20th because you're lower middle class and a person of color. So why wait? You're supposed to vote a certain way. See, that's what early voting relies on. And that's a dirty little secret you might not have known. But hey, I get to work with these far left radicals at the Department of Justice in the voting section. So I got to learn how they view politics. It's not what you learned growing up. It's a very different version of America and civics. It's all about race identity politics. It's all about collectivism, thinking like an animal, like a herd of sheep. You see? So when you hear people want early voting, it's not just about convenience. It's a way to lock in those predetermined, unchangeable racial group voting patterns. Get them locked in early in North Carolina. Hey, in 33 days, all of the various race identity groups get to express their collective will, put the fist in the air. So that's what early voting is. The other component this year that's so hot, and I'm going to have Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation on tomorrow, and that's vote by mail. Vote by mail is the hot new coronavirus thing where there's all kinds of push by hundreds of millions of dollars in left-wing philanthropic money. And if I told you the names, they would frighten you. Groups like Arabella Advisors and Wellspring Foundation and all of these various dark money sources are pushing vote by mail in this country for a couple of reasons. And we've gone over these in the past, but I'm going to have some statistics here for you. I just got from Clark County, Nevada, which is Las Vegas. Remember, Clark County has moved to vote by mail because Nevada has moved to vote by mail for the primary. And the question is, are you going to have it in the general? That's the pending issue right now in Nevada. And the president says that he will sue. He will sue in court to stop vote by mail in Nevada if they move to her. Now, I got some statistics. If you're with the Trump campaign, you want to hear these statistics. The Public Interest Legal Foundation, of which I'm the president, and like I said, we litigate and fight for election integrity. We did a deep drill in Nevada. We did a data mining of public records. It's one of the things we do besides go to court. And we talked to Clark County and we said, hey, we know you had this election just now, this vote by mail election. We'd like to get some numbers from it. We'd like to get some statistics about all these ballots that went out. And this is just Las Vegas, folks, which is, by the way, the largest county in Nevada. In many ways, it's the big county. It's the county that decides elections. And they mailed out in this vote-by-mail scheme 1.3 million ballots. Okay, now remember that number. 1.3 million ballots. 1.3 million ballots dropped in the mail. Guess how many came back? 311,087. So a million ballots didn't come back. Maybe they didn't want to vote them. Maybe they got lost. Maybe they're in landfills. Of those 311,087, do you think they were all accepted as counted? Do you think they, every one of them was super duper perfectly executed and counted? Of course not. Of the 311,000, only 303,000 were actually accepted. The rest of them were outright rejected. And I'll bet you that those, oh, my math is not so good, but about 8,000 people from 311,000 to 303,000. Of those 8,000 people whose ballots they thought, you know, you lick the envelope, you send it back in, you assume it's going to count, it didn't count. I'll bet you of those 8,000 people, just about none of them know their vote didn't count. It's 8,000 votes. 8,000 votes from people who thought their vote was going to count and it did not count. Ladies and gentlemen, elections get decided by far less than 8,000 votes. Oh, but it gets worse. It gets worse. Of 1.3 million ballots mailed, and this is just Clark County, Nevada. We're talking about statistics from the primary election that was all vote by mail not long ago, just a few weeks ago. 233,469 ballots came back to the election office as totally undeliverable, that they were bogus addresses. People didn't live there. The voter was gone. No one here. 233,000 ballots went out that were bad registrations. Okay, we started with 1.3 million. We've accounted for 1 million. Just never, nothing happened. People just got them and sat on them, I guess. We had 8,000 people filled out and mailed, they were rejected. People who thought their vote was going to count, they were disenfranchised. And then we had 233,000 that just bounced to undeliverable bad addresses. That's vote by mail, America. That's the mess that vote by mail is. That's the disaster that the proponents of vote by mail want to have. Now, what's fascinating to me is all these people who don't know anything about elections for 4 years, 265 days, you know, 11 months of the year, they don't follow elections. They follow elections for like 2 months before elections, and then they write about how important it is to have vote by mail. They don't know how elections run, but they work at these pinhead think tanks in D.C., where the oh-so-smart people work, like the super-duper, I'm so much better than you people work. And they tell us that vote by mail is the solution. There's some in the National Review. Of course, you can always count on that. Recently in the National Review telling us how vote by mail is a great thing. These are people who don't actually get their fingers dirty. They don't know what they're talking about. I want to hear from you guys. It's 1-888-589-8840. I'm Jay Christian Adams. I'm subbing for Sandy Rios this week. It's great to be here. What about your school? Are you going back to school this year? Are your kids going back to school? Or are they going to have to be at home doing nothing? Or logging on for an hour a day? Or go read a book. That'll do. How's it going to work for you this fall? I'd like to hear about it, because a lot of teachers around the country are complaining and wailing and gnashing of teeth. 1-888-589-8840. I'm Jay Christian Adams. You're listening to American Family Radio.
The heartbeat of life translates into every language. When an expectant mom in crisis hears her baby's heartbeat on ultrasound and sees her baby in the womb, She's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free heartbeats for moms in crisis in the USA. And they're the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. When a mother chooses life, Preborn centers are there to help with the baby's needs, counseling, and so much more. And those services are provided free of charge. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Ronald Battori, administrator of the Federal Railroad Administration. Mr. Battori's agency supports our nation's railroad transportation system by promoting safety and by enforcing transportation regulations across our country. Psalm 119, 105 reminds us that God shall guide us in our travels. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Ronald Battori. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. A middle-aged couple went slap crazy on a group of teenage boys inside a Walmart the other day. Happened in Post Falls, Idaho. The couple was enraged because the boys were not wearing face masks.
Stop it!
Whoa, whoa. You can watch the full video of the incident on toddstearns.com. Jill Dickinson, the boy's mother, said her son was hit in the shoulder. He was not injured, but she's still mighty upset.
I viewed the video and my blood was boiling. This is not okay. We live in a country that we have freedoms, we have liberties, and for my kids to walk into Walmart and get apprehended and accosted the way they did, it's uncalled for.
You know, she's got a point. As they say back home, God don't like ugly. Be sure to listen to my national radio show, noon to 3 Eastern, online, or you can download the podcast at toddstearns.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America. I'm Jay Christian Adams. I'm subbing for Sandy Rios. And if you're in the eastern half of the United States, it is wet. Hurricane Isaias racing through North Carolina, Virginia. Please stay safe out there. Don't go driving around if you're in the eastern half of the country affected by this hurricane. It's just a big one. We're talking about a variety of things today. First of all, we just had a lot of statistics about mail voting, and I shared with you some numbers that the Public Interest Legal Foundation found about the election, the mail election in Nevada, about how many ballots went to bogus addresses, were lost, or canceled. It was a failure. Hey, but that doesn't really matter. We're going to still hear how important it is to vote by mail. We'll be talking about that. Coming up shortly, though, let's talk about schools. Are you guys going back to school? Are your kids going to school? Oh, you think schools are free from politics? Don't bet on it. This is a whole anti-Trump resist effort going on when it comes to schools and the COVID virus. That shouldn't surprise you, I suppose. But so is mail balloting. Mail balloting is part of the problem. We have people who want to go to all mail elections. We have people who think that it's okay to simply throw your ballot in the mail. It'll work. Don't send your kids to school. It'll be okay. Larry, you're in Missouri. What do you have to say about it, Larry? We can get Larry up. Larry, go ahead.
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you today?
I'm okay. It's nice to get through to you. I don't know, understand why that the system is the way it is, but other than the can't there be something done through the courts that this mail-in ballot stuff is so illegal? It's being proved in Nevada right now. That's enough of a case right there to prove that it doesn't work and it should be stopped.
Well, what would you have in mind, Larry?
Of anything, right? They say they
what would you have in mind
of any of this? I think that people need to go to the booths and vote. That's what they need to be doing.
Right, but what would you have in mind as far as you said legal process to stop? What would you have in mind?
Well, I think that they need to take it to the court, Supreme Court, or somebody needs to make a decision on this, or some type of a court system or something needs to go to
okay.
this, because this isn't working. But
well, you happen to be talking to, I'm blessed or cursed with being an election lawyer. I worked at the voting section at the Department of Justice for 5 years, and this is all I do. So let's take this up. Okay, first of all, under the Constitution, who gets to make the rules about elections? The states do. And the state of Nevada has decided that they're going to go to all-mail balloting. So first of all, we have a constitutional headwind. The states have the power to decide how to run their own elections, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now, I'm not saying mail balloting is a good thing. I'm talking about where the founders put the power to decide how to run their elections, and that's with the states. So Nevada has decided to go to all-mail balloting through the actions of the governor, through the actions of the Secretary of State, kind of through the legislature. It's a little complicated there. And so what you're suggesting, Larry, is a court action. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Every court action that has been brought to stop mail balloting has failed, including one failed miserably in Nevada. It wasn't even a close call. It was one of those cases where the judge actually scolds the people who brought the case. So it's not a good situation because, number one, states get to write their own rules. And that's why places like New York and California have gone down the tubes, is because those states get to write their own rules. But courts have basically said, hey, the states get to write their own rules. You got a governor who's declared an emergency. I was on a call in a court case. I'm a lawyer, right? I'm a lawyer. I don't do this so that you're listening to. This is not my life. I'm subbing for Sandy Rios. Thank you, Sandy. But I'm an election lawyer and I go to court. And I was in a hearing in Western District of Virginia where they tried to stop the plaintiffs tried to do some bad things. And the other side was saying, hey, we can manage this COVID thing. This is not that serious. We can't manage it in the election. The judge started laughing. The judge started laughing at them. And you got to remember, some of these judges in their upper 70s. And these judges are afraid for their wives and families and for themselves. And so I'm telling you from experience that going to court to stop mail balloting has been a big, fat failure. Now, that may change, but so far it's been a big zero. Been a big zero. Anne in North Carolina. Good morning, Anne. If we can get Anne on, I hope that you're dry and safe today, Anne.
Thank you. I'm calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Right.
And I was surprised when a relative in Winston-Salem called me and told me that she had already received her mail-in ballot. And she was planning on using it. And then I told her about the dangers of mail-in voting. And I told her that if she was unable to go in physically at the polls, they would bring the ballot out to her at the car, because I've done that with my husband quite often. But I think people are really uninformed about the dangers of the mail-in ballot. And I'm wondering if they could have some kind of blitz campaign to tell people, because I think they just think it gets there, you know.
Right. Well,
and they don't realize the dangers.
What you're referring to when you drive the car up is called curbside voting. And it's
right.
For people with disabilities or other things like that. And you're exactly right. If you want to have your ballot not count, if you really kind of don't care about losing your right to vote, then send a mail-in ballot. If you're all right with having your vote get delivered to to a grocery store in Oregon instead of to the election office and cast a mail-in ballot. That's mail is notorious. As I say, do we really want to put the election into the hands of the people who regularly deliver you your neighbor's mail? No. 3% of mail gets lost. 3%. What were the margins of victories in states across the country in the last election? It was way less than 3%. If you want your vote to count, go cast it in person. Go cast it in person. Ladies and gentlemen, they had an election, in-person election in Liberia during the Ebola epidemic. Ebola, remember? That was a disease when like blood was coming out of your eyes and ears in West Africa a couple years ago. They held an in-person election with mitigating protocols that were assisted by international organizations. I did a paper on this with Hans von Spakovsky. You can get it at the Heritage Foundation website. We analyzed all of the steps taken in Liberia to have an in-person election during the Ebola epidemic, a disease which, by the way, had a 48% fatality rate, if you got it. And they did all kinds of simple stuff, like sterilization protocols, distancing. Sound familiar? And it worked, and nobody got Ebola from the election. So if you want your vote to count, go cast it in person. Thank you very much for that call. It's exactly right. Mail voting fails. Mail voting fails. Kevin, you're in Arkansas. Let's put up Kevin. You heard that 16 of 19 people in Oregon had something happen to them. What is it, Kevin?
When they were trying to burn down the federal building, they arrested 19 people. 16 of them were turned out to be public school teachers.
Well, I hadn't heard that one, but you never know these days. And let's talk about that. That's a good way to introduce this next topic. You know, mail voting is the big push, the COVID-justified push to how to change our elections. But there's an education component to all this, and here's what it is. They want your kids stuck at home causing trouble. The people who want to evict Donald Trump from the White House are trying to stop schools from opening this year. Make no mistake about it, it is 100% political. 100% political. And it is dressed up in the context of safety. And it's not even about safety for the kids, right? Because kids aren't really getting this. This is not a kid disease. It's not like chicken pox and strep throat and what's that thing you get in your eyes? Pink eye. It's not like that. This is like an older person disease, generally. And so they're trying to stop schools from opening. And you can recognize the talking points. Oh, safety of the teachers. It's all about safety of the teachers. We want it to be absolutely safe. They're very concerned about that. And look, I get it. You want to have a safe situation. But this has become sucked into the political vortex of the hate Trump movement. Now, how do I know this? Because they say so. Front page, Washington Times. Teachers union warns district, don't reopen. Plans for protests are set up to challenge Trump. I mean, listen to some of these quotes from the American Federation of Teachers. Demand Safe Schools, a coalition of a dozen urban teachers unions and the Democratic Socialists of America, offered Monday a taste of things to come by holding multiple events across the nation in opposition to reopening of schools as part of the National Day of Resistance. The American Federation of Teachers, who's supposed to be, by the way, the reasonable union, sent a shot across the bow at its biennial convention last week by pre-approving, quote, safety strikes as a last resort against unsafe school reopening plans. This is part of the effort to get Trump thrown out of office. Because if we're all stagnating at home in despair and lethargy and sloth and going backwards as individuals, we're more likely to blame Trump and vote for Biden. It's that simple. They want chaos. They want shutdown. They want fear. That's why you see all these people walking by themselves down the street wearing a mask. That's a political statement. I'm sorry, it is. In the vast majority of cases, there are mask police running around. Many are named Karen. And this is part of an effort to scold you because you disagree with them. Like, decades of pent-up desire to scold people is now coming out. Things they used to not be able to do in public, like walk up to somebody and start screaming at them, they're now allowed to do. And they've been fantasizing about it most of their lives. This is an effort to take it out on you because you're different than them. We talked a bit about this yesterday. So the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association have developed literal plans. These are not like, hey, maybe we ought to talk about whether we ought to open schools. No, no, no. These are action plans to keep schools shut down. And it's focused on government schools because the government schools are most in the control of the left. And when they can't shut down, when the private schools say they're going to reopen, the government employees get all very bent out of shape about that because it's going to be an advantage to the private school children. Who would you hire or who would you accept to your college or your athletic program in college? Would you pick the student who went to school in the fall of 2020 and played volleyball? Or would you pick the person who sat at home and did nothing and didn't play volleyball for your college program? See, that's what a lot of this is about when it comes to bullying the private schools into staying closed. What about your school? Let's go to Charles. You're in Ohio. If we could pull Charles up, please. There we go.
Hey, go, Charles. Good morning. Good morning. I miss having Sandy, but you're a good personality to fill her shoes. Just if she wears heels, try not to walk too far, you know. My
I do not have heels on. I promise you that.
Yeah. our local school still undecided. They pushed it back to September 8th, and they're still undecided. I'm thinking, come on, it's only a month away. You're going to have to, you know, figure it out. And they do. I did read that they are offering distance learning for those who choose. And I like that. I feel like there should be both options because if masks work, put them on the teacher, quit your crying and go to work. You know, the rest of us have to wear them to work. Why can't you? If they work, wear them. If they don't, why are we wearing them?
And it raises the question. There's so many people out there, Charles, who have to go to work now. Okay. I was at a gas station yesterday. I got gas. We go to the grocery store. There's people who have to go to work. There's police officers. There's soldiers. There's people at the Pentagon. I can go down the list. Many of you are driving to work right now. And so these folks are going to work, and they're able to do it, and they're around other people. So the teachers have always sort of operated in these unions, the teachers' unions, in sort of this alternate universe of reality. And so they don't want to go to work. Let me ask you this. What's safer? Going to school or driving down the highway going to school? Are all the kids who are going to stay home not driving in cars? I don't think so. You're on J. Christian Adams. What are they doing in your school this year? Are they going to open? Are the teachers' union in your neighborhood, if there are any, going to support the National Day of Resistance? This is all political, folks. We'll be talking more about it with your calls. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios. Want to hear from you at 1-888-589-8840. You're on American Family Radio.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill.
but today I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
You shall have no other gods before me. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In 1954, Americans lived under constant threat of nuclear attack from the USSR. When America's children practiced duck and cover in classrooms across the country, President Eisenhower realized that our pledge had no distinction from any other republic. After hearing a sermon on February 7th of that year, President Eisenhower signed a law adding the words, "under God," to our pledge. The president recognized the true source of unity, of indivisibility, is unwavering submission to the God of the Bible. As we go about our day, let us all remember the only true source of national unity is submission to Almighty God.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Democrat Party seceded from the United States in 1861, and it looks like they're getting ready to do it again. One of the outcomes they considered over the weekend is that if Trump wins, Democrats will override the will of the people of their states and send Democrat electors to the Electoral College. If that doesn't work, the entire West Coast, California, Oregon, and Washington, will secede from the Union and declare Joe Biden president. Secession is in their bloodstream, secession is in their DNA, as is their vitriolic, pure hatred of Donald Trump. They hate him with such a purple passion that they seem willing to destroy the country if they don't get what they want. With the immense possibility of electoral fraud because of states using mail-in voting on the fly, it's going to get ugly.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. With the United States preoccupied with new surges of the Chinese Communist Party virus, Beijing seems poised to act ever more aggressively in the Western Pacific. In the aftermath of President Trump's recent surge of two U.S. aircraft carrier battle groups for exercises in the South China Sea, the CCP has asserted extended sovereignty over waters that allow access to that strategic area. The practical effect of this change remains to be seen, but it fits a pattern of ratcheting up the basis for China to deny ship and aircraft movements in the region, as its ability to do so increases inexorably. There are also fresh Chinese reports that the PRC is preparing to conduct large-scale amphibious drills, whose real purpose will be to seize islands belonging to Taiwan. The so-called new Cold War with China could get very hot very soon. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios today. It's been great to be here this week. I'll be with you tomorrow. Hans von Sikoski will be joining us from the Heritage Foundation. You can follow me on Twitter at electionlawctr. I'm an election lawyer at the Public Interest Legal Foundation, and we have been talking about vote by mail and what a mess it is. And we've been talking about whether or not your schools are going to be reopening. And you think, well, what do those two things have to do with each other? And what they have to both do with each other is they're part of a concerted effort to get Donald Trump out of the White House. The vote by mail scheme is meant to throw the election into chaos and uncertainty. And keeping kids at home is part of the resist movement to prevent any return to normalcy in the American life. And if you thought it was crazy, it's even crazier. This is the front page of the Washington Times today. Just listen to this headline. Communist Marxist movements in the United States throw all their support to Joe Biden. Right? It used to be that Gus Hall, remember, he was the guy who ran for president as a communist all the time. Gus Hall. He would always run and like not like either the Democrats or the Republicans. Oh, not this year, not in 2020. Washington Times. This year's election is an easy call for Bob Avakian, founder and leader of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA. The need to stop President Trump is so overwhelming that he has no qualms about backing Democrat Joe Biden. This is the Washington Times. From Maoist to Marxist, leftists say it is an easy choice. Biden is not better than Trump in any meaningful way, except he is not Trump and not part of the move to consolidate and enforce fascist rules with everything that that means. These people are nuts. These people are absolutely bonkers to the point that the communist, Revolutionary Communist Party USA is openly supporting Joe Biden for president. Okay. Thanks for letting us know. We've always suspected that. But it's good you confirmed it for 2020. We appreciate that honesty. Ezra, you're in Texas. What about your schools this year and homeschooling? What's going to happen there? Go ahead, Ezra.
Yes, sir. So, you know, there's a lot of controversy going on here in Texas and whether or not the homeschooling is going to happen for 6 weeks, give or take, or people are going to go straight to school. So that's still up in the air. One of my outtakes on the subject is the morals that can be brought from, you know, homeschool. I was homeschooled for a while. You know, my father was present. My mother was here. And I just feel like the lack of fathers is a very important thing in this nation. I feel like there should be present fathers. And I feel like morals are really gathered from homeschooling. So I'm pro-Trump completely, and I don't agree with, you know, what the Dems are doing at the moment, but I do feel like there could be a twist if people were to come together in a way, and if there was some kind of congregation and agreement between the people, maybe there could be some benefit.
Well, there definitely could be a benefit if people come together, but I'm afraid the year is 2020, and there are hundreds of millions of dollars, and I mean that seriously. I could do a whole show on who the groups are and who the funding streams are. There's hundreds of millions of dollars being dedicated to dividing the country. A lot of money is going into dividing the country, and it's going to be very hard, very, very hard to have any measure of unity. Lisa, you're in Oklahoma. You're a teacher and an RN. What's your view?
Yes, good morning. So this conversation could go, and we could talk about it forever. So the school that I work at is opening this week. The students are required to wear masks, and so are we as teachers. I do teach in the nursing field. My grievance is that after 30 minutes, the masks are not doing their job, and the cloth masks and surgical masks, the blue ones, they're not effective anyway. On the box, it says, will not protect you against coronavirus or viruses. But everybody is trying to keep you afraid, and there are so many people that are afraid. And what they don't realize is if you don't change that mask every 30 minutes, it's not effective anyway.
Well, right, and there's a lot of differences of opinion about the micromanagement of how to do this. But the bigger question is, how do you go back? And I think everybody would agree that it's probably better to have a mask than not have a mask in school. I mean, yeah, some people don't like masks. I get it. Well, be prepared to be yelled at by Karen and Karen's friends named Karen. That's going to happen, and we're going to have glitches and rough spots. But the bigger question is, do we make an effort to open up schools, or do we raise the white flag and say we're not going to do it? And I want to reiterate, what is more dangerous now? Is a child more likely to be hurt or killed on the drive to school or by going to school. All of these folks who complain about how dangerous this is going to be, I see some of their kids riding around bikes without helmets in the pouring rain. Or they drive on the highways. Okay? Are we gonna get to a point in this country where it's not safe until people have the safety of living in a bubble? Remember that show? Well, many of you won't. ABC After School Special, The Boy in the Bubble? Like nothing could touch him? Are we going to get there before we go back to school? Donna, you're in Arkansas. What do you have to say?
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
We all know this isn't just about the virus. It's bigger and stronger than that. What they're doing to our schools today and to our society is an abomination. I am a Trump supporter. I have the Ten Commandments posted in my front lawn. I walk into Walmart without a mask. I take my temperature every morning. I stay healthy. Now, am I not going to get the virus? I could, but I'm probably not going to die from it. I think as Christians, we've been taught to be too nice, too polite, and we don't want to, you know, we don't want to start trouble. But honestly, we need to stand up. And my son calls me a saber rattler because I'm going to stand up for what is right. I do believe Trump is going to be reelected only by the grace of God. He got in there the first time, and he's going to get in there a second time.
Well, and Don, I would agree with a lot of what you have to say. I will point out that usually Walmart these days, at least everyone I've been in, has a sign that says you must wear a mask to enter. And it's sort of like a contract. I go back to like private property laws. Like if you want to buy my goods, then you must pay X. If you want to come into my store, then you must do Y. And so, you know, there are obviously government edicts in many places about wearing a mask in stores. But there's also people who have the right to say, if you want to come into my store, you got to wear a mask. And we might not like it, but that's just where we are in 2020. And, you know, it's the question is, how do we reopen schools? And what do you make of the fact that the teachers unions, the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association and some crackpot communist group, whose name I'm not even going to subject you to twice, is developing talking points and action plans how to get parents to oppose reopening of schools. That, to me, is what's interesting, is that an organized effort by these institutions who claim to be about education are doing everything they can this fall to not have any education. They want to shut down the schools. They don't want America to learn. Now, if you were to say to me that the Wuhan virus is some kind of Chinese plot to cause Americans to stop being Americans, and stop moving forward, and stop learning, and stop playing football in high school, I would have said you're an absolute nut. This is some kind of QAnon conspiracy. Okay, sorry if I offend the QAnon fans, but it's a great thing to point to when you're talking conspiracy theories. But then look what happens. They say, let's not open the schools. Let's not have football this fall. Let's not do a whole bunch of stuff. I say, boy, it kind of worked, even though that wasn't the plan. You see, I'm not down with the conspiracy theories, but the outcome seems to be what you guys are saying. And that's what's so disturbing about the don't open school crowd, is that they want us to stagnate for another year. They want more unemployment. They want more families at home busting out. And believe me, you guys might do homeschooling. You guys might teach arithmetic and history to your kids. But the vast majority of those kids who are stuck at home across the country because schools aren't going to reopen ain't going to be doing that. They're going to be causing trouble. They're going to be being nursed by the television at best. And in many places, they're going to go out and commit crimes. See, that's the alternative. You guys are out there thinking, what's so bad about kids being home? Oh, boy. Let me introduce you to some neighborhoods around D.C. Because when you suddenly put the entire youth population idling, and we know all know what idle hands are, bad things start to happen. do not underestimate the power of idleness. Kenny in Virginia, what's up with you today? You're on with American Family Radio. I'm J. Christian Adams. Go ahead, Kenny.
Yes, sir. Good morning. I just wanted to touch base on the school opening there. You know, in where I'm at, we are going back to school. It's they've divided the school into two groups, an A and a B, and they're going to go 2 days a week each group. So they'll be going 4 days. My one thought is, if you go one day, are you not opening yourself up to the virus? Even if you go one day, why not go ahead and go the 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons they're doing that is to have extra space in the classroom to give people more opportunity to social distance. I think that's what the division is. But pay attention, guys. This is definitely part of a national campaign to stagnate the country, to cause malaise, despair, chaos, unemployment, and economic devastation. That's why they're doing much of this, is to get rid of Trump. I'm J. Christian Adams. I've been with you yesterday, today, and I'll be with you tomorrow. Hans von Sikowski will be joining us on Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. But I want to tell you about something called National Truth for Youth Bible Week. And we want you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teenagers. It's Truth for Youth Week. AFR and Revival Fires International wants teens to share the gospel with friends as they return to school. Help us get the word of God in the hands of teens across the nation. We need to equip teens to push back against rebellion, anarchy, and lawlessness raging across the land. During this unprecedented time in our nation's history, we need to get God's words in the hands of as many young people as possible. In the midst of division, a revival is coming through the young people of our nation. The distribution of Truth for Youth Bible is a vitally important part of this revival as we reach a generation of young people with the gospel. Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promised to pass it along to a friend this school year. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament in full-color comics. I might need to get one of these, that present the gospel and moral truths. The Truth for Youth Bible is also available in Spanish. Thousands of young people have received Christ, over 25,000 over the last 20 years as a result of this project. The goal this year is to get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teens. Parents can order the Bible on behalf of their son or daughter, or a teens can even call to get one. Go ahead, do that now. You can order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. There's two ways, guys, for you to do this. Number one, visit truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com. You can order online anytime, right now. Right now you can order it. Or you can call 1-800, get a pen and paper, 1-800-733-4737. That's 1-800-733-4737. That's between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. So give it an hour or so. My name is J. Christian Adams. It has been a real delight to be here with you guys today. I'm going to be back again tomorrow for Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. We're going to talk more about the election. I'll have Hans von Spakovsky joining us from the Heritage Foundation. And you can learn a great deal from Hans, I promise you. He's one of the experts in the country on this. It's been great to be with you. You stay safe out there. I'm J. Christian Adams on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.